Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
You hear me? But I don't hear anything except your talkback. I don't hear anything well. If you'd like me to talk, you have to cue me. Don't do that. Do that. Well, here it is. Can you believe this? It's a Sunday night. It's Oscar night. And it's very exciting. Let me tell you the most exciting thing that happened to me today. I was at CVS, and I get one of those receipts. And remember, at CVS, the receipts are 3 feet long. And what was interesting about the CVS receipt is that it said $2 off for a $40 purchase. And then another part of the CVS receipt said $5 off if I make a $30 purchase. And then down below, it said $20 off if I spend $50 on beauty products. And I'm thinking, this is very interesting. Does this is a tremendous amount of calculation on the part of CVS. They've done a tremendous amount of work to know exactly who I am, to know what I'm going to buy and how much I should be given off. And I'm like, this is an incredible amount of math for every single customer. And I thought, wow, these CVS people are working on a complex algorithm. I can't even imagine the stuff that goes on at CVS in the algorithm department. And then I had this thought, what if the people who run CVS are like you and me? And they're just guessing. You know how when you and I go to work, and every day we go to work, we think today is the day that we're going to be caught. Today is the day they're going to go, oh, sorry, you really don't know anything. You don't have a clue what's going on. Every day, you go to work and you think, maybe today is the day that back of your mind, when you're driving and you're pulling into the parking spot, you're getting on the bus, you go, today is the day they might catch me. Today they might find out I don't know anything. So maybe it's like that at CVS or Rite Aid or whatever drugstore you go to when you get the 4-foot-long receipt. And it says you'll get $10 off next time you buy $40 worth of shaving cream. And you think they know you. You think they know you. But maybe they're just guessing. Now, all of you who are doing the other show in the control room, the show's in here. Now, let me ask you a question. I can't hear anything but my mic. Is there anything else going on that I should know about? I couldn't hear the music coming out of the network. Can we get Jim Kelly on the phone? Is Jim there? Is Jim there? Okay.
Walter,
hi, Jim.
How are you?
I can't hear Jim.
You can't hear me?
I can't hear Jim Kelly. That's not good. Because Jim Kelly is going to provide us with exclusive and remarkable Oscar coverage. Won't that be exciting? Jim Kelly's Oscar coverage. Plus, we're going to have Oscar coverage from a variety of sources. But I have a story to tell you first. Now, do we have Jim now?
Hello? Hello, testing 1, 2, 3.
Now, Sterling on Sunday.
You hear that?
College grads find themselves tonight, straight out of Temple, an actuality play steeped in reality.
You have to understand where you are in life in order to thrive in life.
Are you saying that life is ruthless?
Where's Ruth?
First, do you know where you are in life?
It looks like a big city. Where am I?
You're in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? Fantastic. I've made it into show business. I'm in a Tom Hanks movie already? Do I have an IV bottle?
That's a malt liquor.
I've been drinking this and nothing else for 4 years.
Do you know how to find your way in life?
I certainly know where I can throw up.
Well, we have reviewed your transcripts and feel that you are eligible for... Well, it appears the only skill you have after 4 years is one that will make you a father.
Is Temple a Hebrew school?
Next time on Straight Outta Temple,
Wingle is my dream.
Straight Outta Temple is based on facts and is not associated with Chicago's Mayor Daley or Guam. Lesbians in Space is now.
No. Now, is Jim Kelly there now? We're going to hear Jim now. John, do you...
Hello.
Oh, there's Jim Kelly now. Yes, so I
Walter,
do,
how
I do
are
hear
you?
Him. Good. And hopefully we'll hear the music and everything will work. Because, you know, the thing about radio is it's only been around 100 years and not everything's been proven yet. Now, Jim Kelly, you're covering the Oscars for us. Please share with us some of the highlights that you've seen personally that have impacted you in an emotional way.
Well, some of the highlights I've seen are actually Randy Thomas doing her announcing, as always. Best Supporting Actor went to Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. And surprisingly, Best Supporting Actress went to Allison Janney for I, Tonya, which I had seen on a screener. I thought Allison Janney was really good in this movie as well. And just various other things going on. Not a lot of Trump bashing, which is good. I believe they just went to a movie theater and just gave a bunch of theater goers candy. It looked like to me as I'm watching
in real time. Tell them it's not gone through my monitor. Now, where are you? Are you on the red carpet? Are you at the Oscars right now in L.A.?
I was, and I saw Ryan Seacrest. I did an interview with him, but I guess they didn't make it to TV. So, but he was too busy. He was interviewing Mary J. Blige, he was interviewing Common, and he was also interviewing Allison Janney. So I guess he didn't really have time to put my interview up there because he was asking me, he goes, "Aren't you for the Walter Sterling show?" And he started talking to me, and he just didn't put me on there. So I was a little bit disappointed in that one.
Now, were other celebrities talking to Ryan Seacrest? Because, of course, rather than being concerned about which movie wins and which actor wins and which actress wins, there seemed to be far more concern about whether or not these precious, coddled actors and actresses would actually speak to Ryan Seacrest. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of people that spoke to him. You know, he spoke to Diane Moore. He spoke to Miguel. And I believe he spoke to Allison Janney, like I said. He did speak to Christopher Plummer, who's up for an award. He did speak to Mary J. Blige. He did speak to Common and Audra Day. I hope I'm still saying that correctly. And he spoke to somebody named Andy, but I may have this spelled incorrectly, so I don't want to say the word on the air. So,
now, what awards have they given out so far? Because I'm very confused by everything you've just said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, like I said, for Best Supporting Actor, they gave it to Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards.
But why didn't they give it to him for the when he played the guy who used to host the Gong Show? That's what Sam Rockwell should have won for the guy who played the Gong Show. That's who he should have won for. Three Billboards. No one saw this. Did anybody see this movie? Because, you know, I am not going to go to a disgusting art house that has 14 seats, no air conditioning, and my feet stick to the floor. That's where all these lousy movies are from. I'm also more than a little tired of actresses is talking about their process.
What was the process? I don't know. I just woke up and tried on the dress and it fit, thank God. And then I took a shower and I don't know what I was... That's what I did. And then I got my hair and makeup done.
Yeah. I don't care about the process. And what are these other ones? The Shape of Water and what?
Yeah, The Shape of Water. By the way, Walter, you forgot in these movie theaters, you forgot flat soda and stale popcorn as well. So, I mean, the feet sticking to the floor is like a must, but you forgot the flat soda and stale popcorn as well,
yeah,
which is dangerously overpriced.
Dangerously overpriced, not to mention the fact a lot of those art houses insist on selling quiche. And I have no interest in quiche.
No. Well, I know Mary J. Blige performed, and I know a lot of sound mixing and sound editing went to Dunkirk, which won about 3 awards at this point.
But the sound editing always goes to movies that are loud. And war movies are always loud, by definition. They're always loud. That's why they always win.
Right. Right. That seems
all right, well, now I need you to go back to study the Oscars for us, the Academy Awards, and have a report for us again pretty soon. That's Jim Kelly, our fabulous, fabulous Oscar reporter. Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, now, I still can't hear it on the monitor here. You know, on the studio monitor, if I turn off the station, if I turn off my mic, I still don't hear anything coming out of the monitor. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. Plus, we're going to have a very special report on the Oscar nominee movie. We're going to have a very special reenactment of Call Me By Your Name, which has to be the most confusing title ever given to a movie. Call Me By Your Name. Like, if I don't have enough problems, I want people to call me by their name. When I come to, it's hard enough for me to know which name I'm going to be using. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. There's this story in California, and all the good stuff comes from California, where there was a beautiful $1.8 million house. And they went to closing on this gorgeous house. There are pictures of the house. I put it on the Walter M. Sterling Facebook page. You can see it. And it's a magnificent house. You would be honored to own this house, except the person who was getting ready to close on this house learned that the house had been used for years to shoot pornos. And she was very upset that this house that she was about to close on was used to shoot pornos. And what she said was, can you imagine preparing Thanksgiving dinner on the kitchen counter, realizing that people had had sex for movies on the same kitchen counter? And therefore, she did not buy the $1.8 million house. And I'm thinking, use Lysol. I'm thinking, you know, get the Ajax. Get the Lysol spray, maybe the extra strength Lysol spray, or go crazy, go to IKEA and get a new counter, because it was a beautiful house. And then I started to think, you know, I have lived in homes. I have rented homes. I've rented apartments where after the fact, I found out that some very unfortunate things had taken place there. And maybe you have too. Have you ever rented a house or bought a house or rented an apartment and moved in and found out that something unsavory had taken place there, maybe has made you think twice? Perhaps it was haunted. But I think that anybody who's over the age of 20 has had an experience where they go, oh my gosh, I wish I had known this had happened in this house. Here's your number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Bad things that happened where you live before you moved in. 888-688-WALT, Walter M. Sterling, Westwood 1.
Walter M. Sterling.
All right, my gosh, it's very exciting. But I want to share with you this interesting story, which is that when I first moved into Manhattan, I lived in Manhattan for many years, and tonight we're doing our show from WPHT in Philadelphia, a giant radio station. Oh, and there is, oh, not yet, soon, in just a few moments, we'll be on KDK. It's exciting for the network to roll in, for the network to come in and embrace us and hold us to its bosom, which is an excuse for me to say bosom. When I moved into Manhattan the first time, I moved into the top floor of a three-story walk-up. It shook when the buses went by, but it was mine. And it was a nice floor-through walk-up. It had slanted ceilings. It had wooden doors. It had beautiful floors. And it was the top floor of a three-story walk-up. And the first week that I came home, you know how your brain works to protect you, that when something is out of kilter, that's bad, really bad, your eyes don't truly absorb it at first. Your brain doesn't quite process it at first. And I came home to the top floor of this three-story walk-up, and there was the door, and I was the only apartment on the floor. It was a single apartment per floor. And I realize that there's something wrong with the door, but my brain won't let me fully see what's wrong with the door. And then it starts to slowly come through my consciousness. And where the peephole is supposed to be, the peephole had been knocked out, and the steel door had been rolled back like it was paper to make it about an 8-inch hole that had been made in my steel-framed door to my apartment. And somebody could put their hand in and unlock the locks. And somebody had put their hand in and unlocked the locks. And with surgical precision, they had knocked out the peephole, put their hand in, rolled back the steel, unlocked the locks, gone in, and stole my Sony TV. Because it was the 70s, and in the 70s, Everybody had a Sonic.
And out comes the man from Mars.
I lived about a block from CBGB's and Max's Kansas City. I lived in the epicenter of the punk scene in Manhattan. And I thought I was just cool as could be. Now, I wasn't going to go to CBGB's because that was very scary. And I wasn't going to go to Max's Kansas City because that was very scary. But there I was. And now my Sony TV had been stolen, and I had a giant hole in my door. And I had lived there exactly 1 week. Got it repaired, replaced the TV. Cops came and dusted for prints. That's how you know it was a long time ago.
And out comes the man from Mars.
And then a couple months later, I come home, and the door was in place. Everything was fine with the door. There was no problems with the door. But again, I wasn't quite registering what I was seeing. But there I am at the top of my three-story walk-up, alone. No one else was up there. But there was something wrong with the wall. And if someone had taken like a sledgehammer and sledgehammered through the wall next to my door frame, put their hands in, unlocked the door, gone in and stole the TV again. They took nothing else. Well, now, you know, I'm like, this is very scary. This is Manhattan in the 70s. You can see TV shows on HBO like Vinyl, and you can romance all you want about Saturday Night Fever. But Manhattan in the 70s was a terrifying, filthy, rotten, lousy place. Now I'm living there, and I've been broken into twice. About a year later, I come home, and I had a skylight in the kitchen. Oh, I didn't have a skylight in the kitchen anymore, because someone had just jumped through the skylight in the kitchen when I was gone, ransacked my apartment, stole the TV. I'm like, what the heck used to be here? What was here? What was here? It happened again and again. My apartment there was broken into six times. And they ransacked it looking for cash, stole the TV. Well, it turns out a drug dealer had lived there. And everybody in the neighborhood knew, and a methadone clinic was down the street. Everybody in the neighborhood knew a drug dealer had lived there, knew he had cash, and they were breaking into his apartment, but he had moved out years earlier. There I was. That's what happened in my apartment before I lived there. A drug dealer had lived there. What did you experience? What experienced in your apartment or in your home before you lived there that you're still having to deal with? Here's your phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Well, it's Sterling on Sunday. We have special Oscar night reports from all of our very fantastic correspondents from around the country, and we'll be dealing with them and experiencing and sharing what they have to say about the Oscar nights, because these are all movies that no one has seen. Nobody has seen these movies. 888-688-WALT, Westwood One.
I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center Honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
Did you move into a house or an apartment that you deeply regret because of who lived there before? You found out who lived there before. When I first moved into my first apartment out of college, I found out that a drug dealer had lived there. Welcome, KDKA in Pittsburgh. I found out Jim Gracie, best program director. What a great guy. Thank you for carrying the show, Jim Gracie. We appreciate it. Let me turn this up now so I can hear myself. Ah, you know, that's a great curse of every disc jockey and everybody who's on the radio, is we never think our headphones are loud enough for us. We think it's too loud for everything else, but it's never loud enough for me to hear myself, because, you know, it's just so important that I hear myself. But in fact, it's much more important that I hear you. At 888-688-WALT, what lived in your house before you did? What lived in your rental apartment before you did that you wish you knew? I wish I had known that the person who lived in my house, my first apartment, before I moved in, was a drug dealer. And this must have been a major drug dealer, because at least six of his customers broke into my apartment. Thank gosh I wasn't there, but at least six of them. One came through a skylight. One busted the peephole out of the door and rolled back the steel, put in their hand, turned the locks, opened the door. Another one took a sledgehammer and just slammed right through the wall and then opened the locks. One more came through the skylight in the kitchen. Another one swung from must have been the roof and slammed into one of the windows and came in. 888-688-WALT. There's Jeff listening to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Walt?
Jeff, it's an honor to be with you. Who do you think was hotter, Tiffany or Debbie Gibson?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm going to say Tiffany just by the name alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because...
Tiffany,
but it
got to be hot.
Yeah, but it wasn't with an I at the end. Her last name was T-I... Her first name's T-I-F-F-A-N-Y. So it wasn't like a stripper name. It was, you know, she is and was a nice girl, and I keep mentioning her because her damn publicist is supposed to have her on the show. Now, tell me your haunted house story.
The first house I ever bought that I owned myself in 1986, it was a beautiful old home overlooked the Cumberland River. It was built in 1908, and it was ordered out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, the entire home. Lock and key, but it was haunted by the old man that, or the young man, I guess, at the time that built it and later lived there his entire life and died in it.
Was this Sears good, better, or best?
Say again?
Sears used to have three qualities in their catalog. It was Sears good, better, and best. Do you suppose the house was Sears good, Sears better, or Sears best? Did the haunting... was that a bigger investment, do you think?
No, not really. I wish it was. I'd say it was Sears best by the looks of the molding and the trim, and you know, everything was really ornate about it. The gingerbread on the outside, but the haunting.
So tell us now in detail, Jeff. Now that we've cleared up about Tiffany and Debbie Gibson and Sears, tell me about the haunting.
It was more of a nuisance than anything. There was the front room that looked out over the river where I had my pool table, kind of my little man cave, was always cold. There was cold spots there. And the house didn't have central heat and air. It had coal fireplaces, and we'd have to bring in coal and metal scuttles. And he would take and he'd flip pieces of coal out of the scuttle. Or we'd come down in the morning from the bedroom upstairs, and all of Debbie's table settings would be off the table and in the floor. Or he'd open the cabinet doors, or he'd scrape things off a table. There was a dime laid on top of the television for probably 2 weeks, and one day it just came flying across the room. But nothing
Were you
bad
scared?
Ever happened. It was, Yeah, we lived there about a year and just decided to cash the chips in and sell it and, you know, move somewhere else.
Did you sense evil, or was it just spooky?
It was just spooky. But the people that bought the house from us, they saw him, or their little boy did, saw him standing at the top of the stairs one time going up the second floor. And he refused the rest. They lived there for probably 5 more years, and the boy never did go back upstairs again. But they had more trouble than we did. But
wow.
Wesley was, he could, if you've ever heard of witching warts and curing thrash and babies, Wesley was kind of one of those type people. He could take warts off of you and cure illnesses and things. So that may have spurred the old guy
well,
home.
You just certainly have. This is a fantastic story, and I appreciate you calling very much. You certainly have earned the right to guess the mystery sound and win the cash call jackpot. Would you like to guess the mystery sound?
Absolutely.
What do you think that is, Jeff?
Sounds like a train coming down the track.
No, it's a good guess, but I really appreciate you calling. That's a great story. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling, Jeff. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I want to know, before you moved into where you live, your apartment, your house, do you wish you had asked more questions? Because the first house, the first apartment I moved into out of college, it turns out, had been lived in for years by a drug dealer. And at least 6 of his customers or friends or people who knew that a drug dealer had a lot of cash or drugs broke into my apartment during the day in ruthless ways. They came through the skylight. They came through the door. They popped the peephole. They rolled back the steel. They air hammered through the wall and just unlocked the lock. They came through the window. It was unbelievable. For 2 years, I had 6 break-ins because, it turns out, a drug dealer had lived there. And then, in the house I rent now, a nudist had lived there. And a drunk nudist. And people in the neighborhood on a regular basis saw this guy walking around in the house, drunk and nude. And that's what the house is known for. I wish I had asked more questions. I'd like to know what was going on in your house before you moved in your apartment before you moved in. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, 888-688-WALT. There's Robert from KMOX in St. Louis. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Walt. Since you brought it up, I wanted to just make a quick comment about the house we started renting about 5 years ago. Putting in the cabinet lining up on the top shelf, we found some packets of interesting powder, which we never really found out what they were, but I think it was pretty obvious. But nonetheless, we flushed them down the toilet, never heard another word about it. So I don't think there was any dealing going on in the house, but there was probably some usage of some kind.
Yes. Well,
the reason I called was your comments earlier about the Oscars, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Have you seen any of the nominations for actors, movies, what have you?
Not this year.
Well, I got to tell you, do yourself a favor and go watch Three Billboards. I'm driving back from Nashville to St. Louis right now.
Oh, wait. You're driving an 18-wheeler?
No. Oh. I'm driving a 97 Honda with 250,000 miles on it with my German Shepherd in the backseat.
Same thing.
So do yourself a favor and watch that movie.
Why?
And I think you'll understand why that dude got the Best Supporting Actor nomination. And I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to be home in time, but I definitely hope they get Best Movie. Now, there are other movies in the list that I want to see. The Water Thing and Darkest Hour. I definitely want to see those. I haven't seen them yet, but I got to tell you, you need to see the Three Billboards in Evings, Missouri.
Well, what about this Call Me By Your Name thing? What about that?
We looked at that, you know, on the movie selections last night on her TV, and I don't know anything about it. It just looked a little obscure to us. So we picked that one, and I'll tell you, I can't believe it wasn't the best choice on this selection.
The Three Billboard thing?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate you listening to Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much. You and your German Shepherd. Thank you very much. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Trouble in your house before you moved in.
I want you to be comfortable.
I will only be comfortable if you call me by your name.
My name?
That's the stupidest.
You want me to call you by my name?
Yes. Call me by your name.
This raises a whole host of problems.
Why don't you have a name? I've never heard anyone call you by your name. They just call you Mr. Lucky.
Well, I got that name. Never mind.
But I want you to call me by your name.
Okay. If it will get you nude, I will call you by my name.
Your legal name. Call me by your actual name.
If it means that much, I will call you by my actual name. My actual name is Susan. I will call you Susan.
Gotta go.
Next time on Call Me By Your Name.
This is ruthless. Where's Ruth? And please shovel my driveway.
This is sponsored by Sweetheart Soap and the Field Family and not affiliated with Abby Lee in jail. Sterling on Sunday is Gotta Pass production.
Larry Wax is in our southeast bunker. Larry Wax, share with us your experience on the red carpet this year.
On the red carpet, well, I wasn't actually on it, but I watched people who were on the red carpet. And, by the way, did you hear that Ryan Seacrest was up for Best Molester this year?
And did he win, or was he sad that he lost?
Because
it was a hot category. It was a very busy category.
Oh, yeah, they had like 20 nominees this year. They made an allowance. Ryan Seacrest. To me, it was a very big surprise because I was unaware that he had genitals.
Well, we were unaware that he ever had sex.
Right. Well, you can't have sex if you don't have genitals.
It depends on the country.
Yeah.
Now, on the red carpet, now Larry Wax, who's in our Southeast bunker, who works anonymously, he's not a caller, he's not a listener caller. He's a member of the team and an executive producer of the show and somebody who helps me shape the water of my ideas. And Larry, what did you wear on the red carpet this year?
I wore a Woodstock T-shirt and jeans.
And did you wear any designer jeans? Do you have any designer you'd like to mention?
Well, I have my Gloria Vanderbilt, and it was in keeping with the Time's Up theme. It's like, I shouldn't have been wearing those. You get it? Because it's time's up for those jeans.
Yeah, you shouldn't be wearing them. How long have you owned those jeans?
27 years, I think. 26.
Larry Wax from our Southeast bunker. With an anonymous secret report, we're not allowed to say where you are. It's just somewhere in the Southeast. Did you show your ring? Did you walk your fingers into that little box that shows the ring? Did you show off your ring?
Oh, yeah. I showed off my ring.
And was it from K Jewelers or was it the more expensive one?
No, I went to, what's that place? It begins with Zales.
I don't know if anybody knows this, but in the process of consolidating the jewelry retail industry, Zales and Kay's are owned by the same company.
Is that right?
Yes. It's a radio fact. It's like Ann Landers and Dear Abby are sisters. Very few people actually knew that.
Is that right? They are?
Also, did you know that every winery in Oregon and Washington is consolidated and owned by one company? And also, Avis and Budget are owned by the same company.
Oh, my God.
Now, when you look at the nominees for the Best Picture, did you see any of these movies?
Yeah, I did. That guy driving from Nashville, he didn't see the end of Three Billboards, I can tell.
Why is that? Was it a miserable end?
It didn't end. There was no ending.
Well, we want to have more of this exclusive.
If it had a miserable ending, it would have been a good ending. I mean, but it didn't end. It just stopped. The movie just stopped.
We're going to have more of this exclusive coverage of the Oscars from Larry Wax in our Southeast bunker in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. This is Westwood.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
All right, there's the famous Randy Thomas, and here's Larry Wax at our Southeast bunker in an anonymous location. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us about the Academy Awards, Larry Wax?
Well, yeah, there are two remarkable things that happened. Did you know, Walter, that this is the first Oscars in history where the host made anti-GOP quips?
Oh, never happened before.
No, it's unbelievable. Jimmy Kimmel was making anti-GOP quips right and left.
Insane.
Amazing.
Insane.
And, of course, more history was made when Jordan Peele became the first black screenwriter to win an Oscar.
I don't know how that happened. What'd you say? What?
Jordan Peele, he wrote Get Out, and he won an Oscar. He's the first black screenwriter to win an Oscar, and you know what this means now.
What?
Millions of African Americans will be lifted out of poverty because of this award.
Because of that one thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
What's the name of your podcast, Larry?
House of WACHS Modcast. Modcast.
Say it again.
The House of WACHS Modcast on Twitter at House of WACHS.
Well, I hope the heck you get that job at WBAL. I mean, really, how many more people do they have to audition for that job at WBAL in Baltimore, Carrie Bahigian? Just hire Larry Wax. Thanks very much, Mr. Wax. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. All right, there's Alan in Sebring, Florida at 888-688-WALT. Alan, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Share with us the stories about the horrors that took
place. Hey, how are you, Mr. Sterling?
Yes, excited to speak to you.
I'm excited as well. I had a very hairy experience. I moved into an apartment down on South Beach in Miami, and it turned out that a stripper had lived there.
Oh, my God.
It was the most productive dating 3 years I've ever had. I met Debbie Dazzle, Lisa Lovely, Laura Longing, Lana Luring, Sandy Silky, and Robin Redvine. I mean, it was extraordinary, the time of my life. But I suffer PTSD from it now, though. I suffer, you know, I just...
What does that stand for? What does that stand for?
What?
What does PT, what's it stand for?
It's a post-traumatic stripper syndrome.
Now, Alan, would you just like to stay on hold and do the whole show with me?
You've offered that before, and yes. I've considered it.
Well, rarely do hosts, much less callers, prepare as much as you do for these appearances.
I know. It's phenomenal, isn't it?
It's remarkable. Now, what is it about Sterling on Sunday that has attracted your talents in such a profound, concrete, foundational way?
I don't know. It's so mentally stimulating and fulfilling. I mean, it's just extraordinary. It's just
well, you understand the.
I mean, it excites the. Well, I can't. Yeah, it excites me tremendously. Yes.
But you understand the alternative is if I were to talk about dreary workings of Congress. Those are the options. So either we talk about what you and I would talk about at the mall, and I'm not talking about any mall, a fashion mall to be sure, or we could talk about the dreary workings of Congress. What's better?
Well, between strippers and Congress, that would be a toss-up.
Yeah, so Alan, I think what's going to have to happen here is that next week you're going to have to be prepared to stay on for an hour with me.
Okay, I think I can probably handle that.
I think you can, too. 888-688-WALT, Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, Westwood 1.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center Honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
That is from Mr. Sneakers. Mr. Sneakers is a listener to the Sterling on Sunday show, which you're listening to. Mr. Sneakers is a distinguished cat. And Mr. Sneakers sent me a Christmas card. And it says, which, you know, was sitting on the program director's desk for months, not in my locker where it was supposed to be. It says, meowy and magical. And it says, dear Walter, wishing you a Christmas that's perfectly wonderful. We love you. Have a blessed new year. And that's from Mr. Sneakers and my friend Karen. Thank you so much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. It's 7 past the hour. 7 past the hour. Welcome to the big show. It's very exciting tonight. It's Oscar night. And I haven't seen any of the movies, and I don't care about any of the movies. I don't care about The Shape of Water. The only Shape of Water I care about is in a hot tub when I'm able to soak my feet, my diabetic feet, and I'm able to recover from the pain of my daily existence. That's it. That's the only thing I care about. The Shape of Water. Or what is it? Or Three Billboards. I don't want to see any more billboards. I don't want to go to an independent film to see Three Billboards. Therefore, where are the Marvel films? Where are the Marvel films being nominated for Best Picture? Where did Supergirl, Wonder Woman get nominated for Best Picture? Did that get nominated for Best Picture? I don't think so. There's my friend Stacy. Stacy's in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, how are you?
Now, Stacy, you're going to get very close to the phone and not be having that flange effect. I don't want to hear the flange effect. You've got to get right up to the phone, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're not on a speaker or anything, right?
I'm getting off a speaker right now.
Why? As somebody who knows about radio, would you go on a speakerphone to be on a radio show? You should know better than that. You know, for all this whining about not being on the radio, I figured you would have at least taken care of the technical side of your street.
Listen, can I just give my deepest apologies right now?
No. Girl. You still sound like you're on a speaker.
Okay.
And I'm still hearing myself.
Okay. Hold on one second.
You were pretending to be off the speaker? How would you think I wouldn't know? Of course I'd know.
No.
I'm a professional broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster.
I can't just slough off a lack of telephone response. I can't.
Are we ready now?
I don't know. Do I sound better?
No. And I hear myself.
And you hear yourself.
You're speaking on a speaker. You're speaking on a speaker. Stacy, you're my best friend on the radio, and John should know not to put people on who speak on a speaker. This has just been a whole series of unfortunate incidents tonight. Now, so you're going to call Stacy back, and you're going to get a hold of Stacy, and we're going to do it right. And in the meantime, we're going to talk to, I have no idea, what is that, Lau, Lay? What is that? What's Lau or Lay? Who's called Lau? L-A-L. Is that what I'm looking at on my screen here? In Arlington, Virginia, listening on WMAL, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We were talking about this amazing phenomena of moving into a home, an apartment, where something bad happened before you moved in. And this has happened to me twice. Once was in New York City in the 70s, and turns out I moved into a drug dealer's apartment. I was broken into six times. And now the house that I've rented, a nudist lived in there. A nudist. What happened to you?
So I moved in. I was staying a night at my friend's house, and right before we went to bed...
What are you talking to me on? Are you talking through an accordion? What are you talking to me on?
Can you hear me or no?
No.
Oh, well, hold on. I'm staying at a friend's house.
What kind of friend would let you have a phone like that? No. Screening means... We listen to the technical quality of the call, and we make sure it's okay. We make sure it's good enough to go on 50,000-watt radio stations like WLS in Chicago and KMOX in St. Louis. Steve Moore's sitting there going, what the heck's going on with that broadcast? And Bill Hess is like, he wants me to recommend this show to others, and he keeps getting on calls that go, and then the other one goes, this isn't a sound effects demonstration. We're supposed to share deep and profound thoughts. And let me share some deep and profound thoughts with you right now. There's an astonishing study that came out that proves what I have known for decades. And I bet you've known for decades. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about. Women are the worst bosses of other women. And I have seen this. I have hired hundreds of people in my alleged career. Before I did this for a living, now I wear all black. But I used to wear a suit. I used to wear a Brooks Brothers suit and wingtip shoes. And let me tell you, I was pretty damn dashing. I could walk into a room and command the room, and people thought I knew what I was talking about, but I didn't. I just knew how to wear a suit. And that's most of it. I used to walk into a room. I used to hire hundreds of people. And every now and then I'd say to a woman coworker, I'd say, you know, why don't we hire Susan for that opening in your department? I can't tell you how many times a woman coworker would say to me, I'm the woman here. I'm like, what? I saw more discrimination against the hiring of women by other women than ever by any man. And let me assure you, and I've seen this many times, in every public company I've worked for, in every private company I've worked for, at every startup, at every 100-year-old company, never once did I see or hear or sense that anybody was interested in not hiring a woman, not hiring a minority, or paying them less. Never happened. And I came to realize that the major reason that many women believe they were being paid less was not because of some evil conspiracy of old white men to pay women less. It was something quite different. And it was this. The job of the person hiring you is to preserve the capital of the company. That's their job. If they're running a beauty salon, their job is to preserve the cash until the next payday. If they're at a public company, they have salary grades. This is the least you're going to pay for it. This is the mid-range. This is the most. Their job is to pay the least. That's their job. And your job, if you're up for a job, is to say, I'm not going to work for that. I need to be paid X, and negotiate. Having hired hundreds and hundreds of people, I can tell you that 9 times out of 10, if I say to a guy, this is the salary, they will look at me and say, I can't do it for that. I need $30,000 more. I need $5,000 more. I need $20 an hour more. And it's a negotiation. And I might say to them, well, I'm going to have to talk it over with old Charlie and see if it's okay. Now, I don't have to talk it over with old Charlie. It's called negotiating. And I say, come back the next day. And they come back the next day, and we meet in the middle, and they got what they wanted, and I protected the capital of the company. 9 times out of 10, a woman doesn't do that. 9 times out of 10, for whatever reason, a woman says, okay, I will accept that salary. And she's accepted the low end of the range and doesn't negotiate. Now, I can tell you the last real job I had, where I hired people, the top 5 employees out of 200 that I hired happened to be women. Why were they the top paid employees out of these 200 people? Why were those top 5 people, the highest paid people, happened to be women in the last job where I was hiring people? I'll tell you why. Because they crossed their arms, they looked at me and said, I'm not working for that. And they negotiated. They negotiated. But the study that just came out shows that women bosses tend to be much tougher, much more demanding, much more condescending, and much more arrogant toward other women at work. They are much harder bosses on other women. And we've entered a time. Do you ever study anything about beehives? It's an interesting fact about beehives. In a beehive, the hive is controlled by a queen bee. And all of the other bees are drones, mindless drones. And their only purpose in life is to please the queen bee. That's what they want to do. They are, in effect, slaves to the queen bee. They do everything to please the queen bee. And since the 1960s, we have shifted from a patriarchal society. And I'm not saying this is good or bad. I'm just saying this is what has happened. We shifted from a patriarchal society to a matriarchal society. And it first started at home. It first started at home. And we talk about being a teenager and youth, the culture of youth. We talk about youth as though it's a permanent state. It's not a permanent state. We talk about it as though youth were gays, lesbians, African-Americans, minorities, that they were any other minority. That's a permanent state. But being a youth is not a permanent state. We grow out of being a youth. And what do we grow into? We grow into adults. And let me suggest to you that the most disenfranchised group of people in America, the ones without authority, are married men. Married men have no true role in our culture. They have no true role in our culture. When a group of people who were princesses and princes as teenagers, because believe me, a teenager today, a girl or a boy, is a very entitled class. They are handled in a special way. They are treated as princes and princesses. And it's a remarkable thing to see. Now, when they grow up, they are no longer an entitled class. The men become married men. Married men have no say. Oh, what, you're going out? I'm going out now. You're going out now? Would you pick up some milk? Yes. And then they text, do you need anything else, dear? Did I forget anything? Before I come home in 8 minutes, I'm going to bring home eggs and milk. Do you need anything else? No, you could just get, oh, maybe some bologna for the kids. Do the kids need anything else? No, it's all right. They'll be fine for now. They'll be fine for now because the constant state in any home with kids is, are the kids are okay? It's a privileged class with special courses and after-school activities and special clothing and special movies and shows and academic and the assumption that we can improve the kid without factoring in whether or not the kid has any talent. But now, when one of those princes becomes a man and gets married, all privileges are gone. And let me suggest to you that the most dangerous group of people are people who at one time were entitled and now are not. And a middle-aged married man was entitled as a child and now is not, has no say. By the way, this has a lot to do with New Jersey. Follow along. It has a lot to do with New Jersey. There's nothing more frightening than to see a married man in the state of New Jersey when there's a crisis in the house. Because a married man who's in a crisis situation in the house is relegated to nothing. Because every mom, every wife in the state of New Jersey has secret powers, like Carmela Soprano. She knew the archbishop. She knew a guy. Every mom in the state of New Jersey knows a guy. They know the produce manager. They know the maitre d'. They know the archbishop. They know the chief rabbi. They know a guy who can handle things. And the minute there's a crisis in a New Jersey family household, dad is useless. I'll take care of it. You've made a big enough mess out of this. Just I'll take care of it. I don't need your help anymore. Well, that man, every day that goes on, he becomes a more dangerous man. Because he's a disenfranchised prince. A disenfranchised prince is looking for one thing. Other disenfranchised princes who will agree with him, and he's looking for excitement. He's looking for excitement. And he's going to find it any way he can. 888-688-WALT. It's been my experience that the toughest situation possible is for a woman who has a woman boss. I've seen it. What's been your experience? A woman with a woman boss. What have you seen? I've seen it, and it's no matter what anybody says intellectually, it's all well and good, but the fact is that it's tougher for women to work for other women. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, and you're listening to Westwood One. It's Oscar night. We're going to completely continue to ignore the Oscars because nobody cares. Nobody cares. How long does it take me to prepare this show? I was just asked. It takes me between 10 and 20 hours to prepare this show. And if I do it right, it doesn't sound like I've spent any time preparing. It sounds completely spontaneous. That would be the gift of a great broadcaster. But not being a great broadcaster, I want to welcome WWLZ in Elmira, New York, WQHL and WJZS in Live Oak, Florida, which is Tallahassee, and KBAR in Burley, Idaho. Let me tell you, this KBAR is owned by a family, and they run it like a family business. And I really appreciate when any time a family-owned radio station puts on Sterling on Sunday, it means a great deal to me. So I thank you very much, KBAR, 1230 in Burley, Idaho. And then there's KZNU AM and KAZZ in St. George, Utah. We get a lot of calls from Salt Lake City and from Utah, and I appreciate that. So my phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And the study shows what I've seen my whole life, which is that women working for other women have a much tougher time than usually when they work for other men. When a woman works for a man, it doesn't cause nearly the trouble when a woman works for a woman. And I have seen this. I have seen women be harder on other women, condescending toward other women, far less tolerant of other women, and all in their business. This is something men don't do. Forgive me, but it's true. Men in the workplace do not have this dynamic where they're all involved with other men's lives. They're just involved with other men's tasks. They're just involved with, is the job getting done? Are you on time? Have you finished? Have you kept your word? Have you wasted money? And then go home. Women are all like, oh, you're hiring a painter. Oh, your sister's getting married. There's this whole other level of judgment that has nothing to do with what you and I get paid for. Nothing. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen that women have a tougher time at work when they work for other women. What have you seen? What's your experience? Here's your phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Let's talk about the phenomena of women working for other women. It seems to me that women have a tougher time when they have to work for other women. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. I am live. We are live on a Sunday night. This is Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
All right, 888-688-WALT. Welcome, our Midnight Misfits. There's Charles King and Neil Pohl and Judy Anderson. Hi, Rosemary Furlong, Robert Dowd. Welcome, Keith Mortensen, Fred Werzer, Mimi Poplowski, Dan Gaffney, Yelena Gilkman. Welcome, welcome, Karen O'Neill. Karen O'Neill. Mr. Sneakers sent that. Mr. Sneakers lives with Karen O'Neill. I want to meet you. We've been together for years now, and I want to meet you, and I want to meet you in person. What I care about most in life is eating, and one of my favorite places to eat is a Waffle House. And believe it or not, a Waffle House has agreed to host this show. That's right, has agreed to host this show, which means that all the Midnight Misfits, all the people who have listened for some time or brand new listeners like Rebecca Canner at KDKA, welcome, and Victoria Bullis, and David Lynch, and Elizabeth Johnson, and Dee Wells, and Bernadine Scott, and John McCrary, and Shannon McNeish in Indianapolis. Imagine that. We have listeners in Indianapolis, yet there are amateur radio stations there. I think they're called ham operators that say, no, we don't need Sterling on Sunday. But you're wrong, because Shannon McNeish, who works for National Steel, actually does listen. 888-688-WALT. But I want to meet you. And the way that's going to happen is you and I are going to meet up live at a Waffle House. A Waffle House has agreed to host us. And it gets better. If you have an ugly coffee mug, you can bring the ugly coffee mug to the Waffle House broadcast and exchange it for a brand new virgin Waffle House coffee mug, one without stains, one without permanent lipstick stains, one without that crack, one without that embarrasses the people that you're with, that you work with. They don't want to tell you to get rid of the mug, but it's embarrassing to them. You'll be able to get a brand new Waffle House mug, and everybody who comes there will get a free cup of coffee. And the ugliest mugs will receive a gift card for like $50 to Waffle House. That's pretty good. You and I are going to have a meetup at the Waffle House. When? April 15th. You will not forget the date. It's April 15th. Where? Oh, for where, you're going to have to listen to the podcast, Old Dad Secrets podcast, which is available at iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher or Google Play. You'll be able to find it in many places. And on number 223, the one that's up right now, there's the location of the Waffle House that we'll be broadcasting from. Download it. That way the sales department will say, oh, you know. But here's why it's important to me, and it's important to me personally. It's important to me because when you're on Sunday nights, the sales weasels go, well, you know, you don't get big ratings on Sunday nights. No, that's correct. Because I compete with what? The Oscars, the Grammys, the Emmys, the Super Bowl, the NBA playoffs. I have to compete with all that. I don't see any of these morning men on at this time. No, because they don't have the talent. They don't have the skill to do it. And they don't have the engaged audience, the engaged listener, like you. Because, you know, it's just you and me, Keith Mortensen. We're in our 18-wheeler right now. We're driving through Kentucky. We're going on I-90, I-91, Route 80, Route 380, Route 880, paying $1,000 tolls. Do you know if you have an 18-wheeler and you drive from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia, that's a $1,000 toll in an 18-wheeler, a $1,000 toll. You and I would pay $60 in a four-wheeler. 18-wheelers pay like a $1,000 toll. Their work rules are insane, insane. It's time for us to get together at the Waffle House on April 15th. That's the date. Which Waffle House? You're going to have to download my podcast. You can find it at TuneIn, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, Google Play. I've made it as easy as possible for you. Search for Walter M. Sterling, Old Dad Secrets, and you will find the location of the Waffle House. Look at that. My gosh. There's Laura. There's Laura at 888-688-WALT. I say it's tougher for women to work for other women. How you doing, Laura?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and I disagree. I'm afraid I'm going to have to disagree with your opinion. It's been my experience when women in management trying to take care of company business. As you know, men are assertive management persons for almost just retired at almost 50 years. When I tried to take care of company business, my male managers told me I wasn't sensitive enough. I was too tough. All the company business, well, really, we need to be concerned about feelings. Now, tell me, how does that compare with your experience? What I find is that men managers want women to flirt, whereas women managers want women to do their job. So I'm disagreeing with your opinion very wholeheartedly.
In my experience, there's nothing more uncomfortable for me as a worker than a woman in management flirting. It's the last thing I want.
It was encouraged, and I'm talking about a very prominent national company, and I was just shocked. These were CEs, engineers. We all had some kind of science degree, which was really interesting in my area. And you look at hiring patterns. I worked in one of the highest top paid departments in the company. Every male they hired in the company was required to have a college degree. But a woman could come in, if she was cute, she could come in with a GED. So this has to be, a lot of this is being promoted by the male structure. So I find your comments to from a male standpoint and to be exactly the opposite as my own personal experience in the workplace and as a manager. My whole premise was being friendly, firm, and fair. But my objective was to get company business done. Personal business, you could talk to me after hours, during lunch, during break. But we did not gossip. I would not allow gossiping. And one of the things I would say to my staff is, if somebody made an error and you don't want to fix it, I don't want to hear the gossip. I want you to take the error back to the person who created them, pointed out to them how it should be fixed. So therefore, I lessen a lot of the gossip. Personal issues, I would take a person aside and say to them, if you're having a bad day, let's figure out what else you can do today without starting turmoil. But it really is the direction of your manager that is the driver and the key.
Would you come and run my company?
I'd love to. I'm retired. Please hire me.
You sound like a remarkable manager. You really do. But first of all, very few managers can articulate and deconstruct how they manage as well as you just did. So man, woman, gender fluid, whatever, it doesn't matter. Very few managers can express themselves and deconstruct how they do it as well as you just did. So I have a lot of respect for you. I have so much respect for you that I'm going to give you the opportunity to play the cash call jackpot. Would you like to do that?
Oh, absolutely. This is a first-time caller and first-time listeners, so...
Well, it's a remarkable show. I think you can admit that the other talk shows that are on this station are an embarrassment compared to this show. To win the cash call jackpot, you have to guess the mystery sound. I'm going to play the mystery sound for you, and you guess what it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Laura, what do you think the mystery sound is?
Well, that was really a tough one. Steam coming up from a manhole, I have no idea.
All sorts of interpretations. That's not correct. Thank you very much, Laura. I appreciate and respect what you said, and I'm not kidding. I hope you could come and run my company. That would be fantastic. It'd be so much better than the nonsense we have to put up with now. Here's Mr. Sneakers. Mr. Sneakers, can you run a company that well? At 888-688-WALT, I say that women are lousy bosses to other women. I've seen it over and over again. They can be great bosses to men, but over and over again, I've seen them treat other women lousy. Hi.
Hi. It's Mrs. Sneakers.
Yes.
And I have to agree with Laura 100%. And that's how I run my business.
Well, you're going to have to do better than that, because most people have just tuned in, like this second. They didn't hear Laura. So please share with me your point of view about what I say and a big study that just came out says, which is that women tend to be lousier bosses to other women.
Okay. I've worked for men, and I've worked for women, and I'm a manager myself at the moment. And I feel that the responsibility is to the business. That's the first priority. People tend to, and the staff tend to socialize a lot. I stay out of it. If there's a problem, you know, or a personal problem, come to me during break, before hours, after hours. We can work it out. But don't bring it into the office. I'm committed to the business. That's how I feel, and I think it's pretty much the way Laura feels.
What I know from this card that you sent in with your cat is that you may be committed, but you certainly should be committed. Now, listen, Ms. Karen, would you like to play the cash call jackpot game?
Sure.
What do you think that sound is? To win the cash call jackpot at 888-688-WALT. What do you think that sound is?
I haven't a clue. It sounds like... I'll hold your
hand. What?
I don't know. I wish I did. I don't.
All right. Karen, you're the best. Thanks very much for calling 888-688-WALT. There's Stacy, who's now speaking directly into the phone. They've worked out their emotional problems between Stacy and John the screener. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
We love you, Stacy. Now, let me explain who Stacy is. Stacy owns Stacy's entire tree service in Little Rock, Arkansas. She's in Little Rock, Arkansas, listening on Peter Thiel's KARN, the finest talk station in the state of Arkansas. Doesn't have to resort to any cheesy promotions, any cheap promotions involving women. And what was that thing? I always forget what that is. Boxes or whatever. It's some sports thing. Anyway, they don't do that. Now, Stacy has allowed us to use her email address, because Westwood One refuses to let me use their email address. StacyEntireTreeService.com. So my correct email address is Walter@StacyEntireTreeService.com. You have an Oscar update for us, Stacy.
Oh, well, what would you like to know? That we just had the first African-American win for Best Original Screenplay, and he tweets, WTF.
What does that stand for?
You're going to have to bleep me.
Oh, then don't say it. Then don't say it. Oh, I didn't know. I don't know these secret Twitter language, these secret initials. I don't understand any of this.
Yeah. WTF.
Well, now, what did you wear on the red carpet tonight, Stacy?
Oh, well, you know me. I'm a blue jean girl, and if they don't like it, don't care.
Did you talk to Ryan Seacrest?
No, I did not. But I heard it was... Yeah, what part I saw was very dry and not very exciting, and I think a lot of people agreed with me, as online would say.
Stacy, did you put your ring into that little box where they put their hand so we could see your ring? Did you do that?
No.
Hmm. And who designed your jeans?
Oh, well, I always wear Abercrombie & Finch.
Abercrombie & Finch, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how's Stacy's entire tree service doing? How's business?
Truthfully, this has been the slowest winter we've ever had in 10 years. And it's because the weather has been so cold, and then it rained, we flooded for days and days and days.
Oh, you had terrible floods. So now what's the result of the floods now?
We have cleared up. We had a little bit of rain today, but it's fine now. But this was the first time, I was raised here, left for 20 years, came back, that I've ever seen schools shut down. All our schools were shut down. I mean, you couldn't drive. It was that bad. It was very interesting.
Sum up the Oscar experience for you.
Oh, going to the dentist. So boring.
All right, you're the best. Thank you very much, Stacy. 888-688-WALT. I say women have it much worse when they work for other women. Much worse. Oh, for gosh sakes, I didn't ask Stacy what kind of a boss she is. She has big lumberjack guys working for her. You know, if I was any good at this, I would have asked her that. Welcome, WPIC and KXNT in Las Vegas. This is Sterling on Sunday, and this is Westwood One. All right, 888-688-WALT, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday, 56 past the hour. Welcome to my Midnight Misfits. Tommy Woods, Shannon McNeish, welcome, welcome. William B. Judson, Robert Gaw, Dennis Cote, Frankie Reds, Emily McNamara, welcome. Crystal Wells, D. Wells. There are thousands of us that get to work the third shift. What they don't understand, the people who hand out forms, is that we prefer to work the third shift. We prefer to work the third shift because we're not bothered by the people who hand out forms. We are not bothered by the HR lady. We are not bothered by the people who think that we should eat only vegetarian food. We're not bothered by people who think you should get up earlier. I read some jackass blog about somebody saying the advantages of getting up early. This idiot got up at 4:30 in the morning so that he'd have time to do everything he wants to do. And he'd have time to not be disturbed. Well, every single thing that idiot says about getting up at 4:30 in the morning, I enjoy by staying up until 4:30 in the morning. 888-688-WALT. There's Anna in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, welcome. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
Are you listening on a delay? Have you not been told to turn off the radio?
Sorry, sir. That's too loud still. It's down to a minimum. It is off.
What's going on? Share with us why you called.
Well, there is no question that your two previous speakers do not know what in the wide world they are talking about. Women are absolutely harder on women in the work world. No question about it.
Did you experience that yourself?
I certainly have.
Give me an example, please.
Well, I am in a business that is probably the top 3-4 at the most in the nation. We would probably be second. It's the medical nursing industry of the United States. And as you may know, men are not traditionally in that world. And when they do come in that world, and they are welcome, they are treated very differently than women overall. And yes, I have a problem with that. And yes, I have been in managerial and supervisory positions, and I don't like what goes on.
Well, that's theory. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. It has been my experience that women are much worse toward other women than men are toward women. That's my experience. We have a special report from Gary Arnell coming up, plus an update on the Oscar situation with Jim Kelly. All of this and you at 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
888-688-WALT. It's time for the Midnight Misfits. You and I do not fit in. What the people who hand out forms don't understand is that we like to work late at night. We prefer the third shift. I love being in the cab of a truck going across country at 65 miles an hour on Route 80 at this time, not at noon, now, right now. That glow of the dashboard coming up, that special magic smell that a car or a truck gets at this hour after it's been going for hours and hours and everything's just right. It's like this beautiful glove that takes us to wherever we want to go. It's magic. It's special. And it's just you and me in that truck. It's just you and me in that car. I'm 14 inches away from your ear. You're 14 inches away from me. This is a remarkable time of day. And anything that you and I share is special and it's private. You're working in the lobby of an office building, keeping it secure and safe. Third shift at a hospital. FedEx loading dock. Driving a bus. It's just us. It's the best time of day to work. And my phone number is 888-688-WALT. And one of the reasons that you and I like to work at this time is we don't have to deal with as many stupid rules and as many stupid people. Every workplace has dumb rules, usually centered around the break room and what you can leave in the refrigerator. And then around eating, what you can eat at work or in the conference room. I had a deal with a company once that had all these stupid rules about what I could eat in the conference room. Don't bring any muffins into the conference room because, you know, they leave crumbs. Yes, that's why there are janitors. Yes, I know. That's why there are janitors to take care of my crumbs. That's what they're there for. The dumbest rules in the workplace evolve around eating. I say every company should provide free food. You and I should be given free food. If they're worried about my health and the insurance policies provide preventive medicine, yeah, if you break your arm, we're not going to cover it. But if you want to have preventive medicine and you want to go to the doctor 80 times so the doctor can tell you that you have wellness, if you want to go commit wellness, no problem. Then give me free food. Because if you give me good quality free food, my health will be better than if I'm trying to fight the vending machine for Nabisco crackers, the peanut butter and jelly Nabisco crackers. My health will be better than if I'm fighting the vending machine for Nabisco crackers. I'm live on a Sunday night, 9 minutes past the hour. There's Gary Arnell. Gary Arnell is one of the greatest talk show hosts in history. One of the reasons that I have Gary Arnell on so often, besides the fact that he's articulate and desperately needs a distraction from his wife, is the fact that he taught me how to work the thermostat. And that came in particularly helpful today because Elena and John, who are fantastic at their jobs, Elena the K and John Cole, fantastic at their jobs, but they made the mistake of touching the thermostat. And the only thermometer reading that matters is the one that impacts the comfort of the host. And as the host, I get to decide what the temperature should be. And I prefer it to be frigid, like my women. But the fact is that they decided to fiddle with the thermostat.
Yeah.
And in one of these electronic thermostats that has sort of automatic and has that hold button and the fan on auto, it never works. Don't touch it unless you're a professional like Gary Arnell. Now, the reason Gary Arnell's on is because when I first came into WPHT in Philadelphia, 50,000 watt clear channel station with 140 negative peaks managed by Dave Scalish, Gary Arnell taught me how to work the thermostat. And for this, you will have a secure career.
Well, let me tell you, Walter, first of all, that thermostat is vitally important to me as a talk show host and to you as a talk show host. And I will tell you that I also love it frigid. But I will tell you how many times I've come into a studio and the person on before me has it up to 73 or 74. Yeah, and I walk in there and I say, are you kidding me? So then I'll pop it down, and then the person who comes on after me likes it a little bit warmer, and so much of what happens in and around the beginning of a show, I know people are not going to believe this. You think you're show prepping. One of the topics is the temperature in that studio. So I felt, you know, after all the years that I've been in this business, that I was able to appropriately tutor you in how to use the WPHT studio. That was a real accomplishment for me. And I want to just touch on one other topic. Number two, you're talking about food in refrigerators at work. I have worked at places where, A, I don't believe, and you talk about things that happen at work that make employees unhappy, not comfortable. I've been at radio stations where I don't believe that they have ever cleaned out that refrigerator. I don't think they've ever cleaned it. And I have been in several stations where there are still refrigerators that are not frost-free. Now, for those people in the radio business and the talk show business, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people who can relate to this in their companies as well, they have these refrigerators there, too. Here we are in 2018 that still you need to defrost. And these radio stations and some of these other businesses out there, it's last on the line, and you open it up, and you have to, like, take an ice chisel to get to your little frozen Swanson dinner. And for me, Walter, that is a reflection on how they feel about the employee, because nutrition and food is important. And when the refrigerator, like, they should have a certificate of occupancy on the front door of a refrigerator when you go into a radio station. You don't know what the hell you're going to find in there. So I totally relate to what you're talking about with the fridge and with the thermostat.
What I find shocking is that the people deciding whether or not you and I get free food at the radio station at our business are the same people who have expense accounts where they eat for free every day. You know, the sales weasels eat for free every day. The general manager of any business eats for free every day because they have an expense account, and they take their best friend from college out to lunch who has some vague business. They put down that business and claim it as a business expense, but it's a lot of nonsense.
That was like when a reporter had asked W, what do you make of these price scanners that are now in supermarkets and so forth, and he said, what? He didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So you talk about the GMs and some of these other higher management people. They go out, they got the expense accounts and so forth. How many of them do you think, even in your company, no matter what you're doing, where the top line GM has come down and actually opened the refrigerator in the kitchen to see what the status is of that thing? It ain't happening, except in companies where we always say you go into a restaurant, if the bathroom is clean, it usually means that the kitchen is in halfway decent shape. Well, it's the same thing when you work in an environment where nobody cares at all about the status. I know this is going to sound like a trivial point, but it's not. HR's got to pay attention to this, the status of that refrigerator, Walter. That's what you got to pay attention to.
All right, well, there are a lot of stupid work rules, and I understand that a postal worker has refused to deliver packages for a remarkable reason. Would you please bring us up to date on that, Gary Arnell?
Yes, sir. The community is in Hudson, Florida, and it is a nude option community. So the regular mail carrier there had no problem. He would come in, he would deliver the regular size letters into the mailbox, and then if he had packages that didn't fit, he would go inside the community, knock on people's doors, and he knew some of these doors where they were going to open the door, that these people were going to be in a nude, and it didn't bother him at all. He is out of work for a little while, has some kind of physical problem. They bring in a mail carrier who's a substitute. He is appalled at the fact that he's going to bring in a package and he might have to face somebody who is in this nude option community. One resident says, it offends me that this woman does not do her job because she can't do it, and she marks packages as undeliverable. So I got to tell you, Walter, I pondered this in my mind. I know talk show hosts are supposed to be very definitive on their opinions immediately about issues, but I'm thinking, if this woman says that she is traumatized by going in to deliver these types of packages, should she be forced to do that, to deliver those packages because those packages are on her route? Or should they just get another mail carrier there? Because the people in the community, they're upset about this. They're saying we get medicine delivered in these packages that don't fit in the mailbox, and now we got to go to the post office, and sometimes it's 2-3 days later. So it's a nudist colony that is optional and are having a problem with the mail carrier.
The mail carrier refuses to deliver packages to the nudists in the nude colony.
Correct.
Well, this leads to a good conversation about dumb work rules and dumb work environmental issues. I believe very strongly that a U.S. postal worker should be required, compelled to deliver the packages to a nudist, to a nude house, known as an NH house, nude house. They should be required to do it, or else they should lose their job. The people who live in the community, you're saying, I live in a nudist colony. This is not illegal. It's not illegal to be nude. It's not illegal to live in a nudist colony. We need federal support from our federal postal workers, and therefore they should, in fact, deliver the mail. But it goes to a bigger issue, which is this is an environmental issue for the postal worker. The postal worker is saying, I'm not comfortable doing this. Meanwhile, they're comfortable going up they're comfortable going up to houses.
Well, that's the problem with the nude. That's why they don't want to deliver the package. They're not sure which one is a whore and which one is in the nude.
But they're comfortable going up to houses that have giant German shepherds and pit bulls.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And, you know, granny nude may be more horrifying to see than a pit bull, but the impact is not going to be as great.
Right. Absolutely. But I am with you, and that was my first gut instinct, is that if you're out there and you're on the job, you know what? Go inside, deliver the package, pull down the little blinder mask after the door opens up, deliver the package, and then step aside and walk away. I don't know. That's the job. If you're out there, you got to deliver.
That's the job.
And, yeah.
So I'd like to know as you're going to work on the third shift, I'd like to know as you're going to home from the second shift, dumb things at work that you have to deal with. Fortunately, you don't have to deal with nude people and delivering mail to nude people. But everybody has stupid things that they have to deal with at work, dumb things at work. And I'd like you to get them off your chest, because the fact is, you and I do not have trouble with our work. We have trouble with our jobs. Our jobs are the forms, corporate legal, corporate finance, HR. That's our job, is dealing with that. The work that we were hired to do, well, we were attracted to the work. We like the work. Here's your phone number. It's 888-688-WALT. We are honored to be sharing this very special quality overnight time with Gary Arnell. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Before you go to bed, or on your way to work on the third shift, right now, you're thinking about that one thing that makes you crazy at work. And I want to hear that one thing that makes you crazy at work, that makes it hard for you to go to sleep. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday. This is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sunday. I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
888-688-WALT. There's Gary Arnell, the great, great, great Gary Arnell. Gary, what's the dumbest work rule you ever encountered in your career as one of the premier broadcasters in America?
I've got to tell you, Walter, I think that even Ripley would have a difficult time believing this. I worked at a station. This is just incredible. If you went to the supply closet and you took a pen, I couldn't concoct this story if it wasn't true, and you took a pen or a pencil, a writing utensil out of the closet, you had to put an initial, because they had every piece of supply that was in that closet, whether it be paper, clips, staplers, whatever. I'm kidding you, cannot make this up. And then when you took something out of there, you had to initial it, you had to put the date, and you had to put the quantity of, like, for instance, if you took a slide of staples out of there and there was, I don't know how many are in there, 200, and it broke off, like, they expected you to sit there and say, I took 130, I took 86 staples out. But here's the thing about that, Walter. When you work in a place where they so diminish your head and your psychology about being there, that it's almost denigrating to your existence there. I thought I was one of the people who was really contributing to the overall success of the company. And then I'm brought down to the level of having to say I took two number two pencils and one number three pencil. To me, that was the most agonizing thing I ever had to do at a company because, like, look, they loved my work. I was doing great. I had great numbers for the station. But I still had to mark down how many pens and pencils I took from the clock.
And there it is. You're paid to do your work, but you suffer because of the job and the rules on the job and the work rules on the job. So I'd like to know you. I'd like to know how you have suffered with dumb rules at work. Here's your phone number, 888-688-WALT. They want to make sure you didn't steal a pencil. You know, I steal Splenda. I've confessed to the fact that I steal Splenda. And right now, in every pocket of my pants and my coat are yellow packets. Wherever I go, I steal Splenda. I'm not going to steal it from a store like Walmart or Costco. I don't shoplift. But if they're sitting on the restaurant table, if they're sitting out at the 7-Eleven, if they're sitting out at the coffee machine at the gas station, I will take as many as I think I can get away with because who knows how sweet it's supposed to be.
I was just going to ask you, how do you rationalize in your own mind that you're just picking up this stuff and just taking it? But you're right, because you don't know how sweet the product is going to be. And so then it's okay. It's okay to take a couple of extra packets. Now I understand, Walter. Now I understand. I'll sleep better later. Now I get it.
Gary Arnell, you're the best. Now, Gary, if I ever take a week off, will you come in and substitute? Will you guest star? I hate that phrase, substitute or filling in for. You're a guest star. Would you be a guest star on this show?
I would. I would absolutely love it. And I'm just going to tell you one other quick thing. I know you're up against the clock here. When you opened up this hour, this is what, look, I'm not saying this to be gratuitous or because I'm hoping
please be gratuitous, please.
Yes, all right. Let me be gratuitous about it. The intimacy of this program, the one-on-one connection to the listener is just absolutely tremendous, and it is so lacking in so many areas of talk radio today. It's what we were invented to do, and we've lost the art of it, and the answer to that is yes, I would be absolutely honored to sit behind that Walter Sterling microphone. Absolutely.
Westwood One.
Walter M. Sterling.
888-688-WALT. There's Linda in Illinois, listening on WLS. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I was just telling your call screener that many years ago I worked for a major insurance company in Bloomington, Illinois, and I spilled coffee on my desk, and I have a box of Kleenex there, so I grabbed the Kleenex and wiped up the spill as best I could. And then I went to the ladies' room and got some wet paper towels because the coffee had cream and sugar in it, and I didn't want a sticky mess, and I proceeded to wash the coffee. And my manager called me into his office and read me the riot act that I was not allowed to clean up spills. They have a janitor's union, and in the future, if I had any spills, leave it alone and call a janitor. And I thought that was one of the silliest things I'd ever heard.
It was. But it was one of the silliest things. And inevitably,
that was the rule. He said it was union. It could cause a big uproar that I'd get in trouble, he'd get in trouble, and just don't do it.
When I worked at NBC at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, there were many work rules like that because every known union was in that building. For example, in order for me with a recording device in my office, the R was disabled. I was not allowed to record. I could play back something, but I was not allowed to record. But the dumbest work rule I ever had at NBC was that we had a photo shoot involving a sheepdog. And one of the disc jockeys at NBC was going to have a photo shoot with a sheepdog because that was his image, you know, an all-around nice, wonderful, warm guy. We bring the professional sheepdog to 30 Rockefeller Plaza and the photographer. The photographer comes up into the studio to take the photos. And there we go to bring the sheepdog, and we go to bring it in the passenger elevator. And the union elevator guy says, that has to go into the freight elevator. All right, so we walk the sheepdog over to the freight elevator at 30 Rockefeller Plaza. And we get to the freight elevator, and the guy at the freight elevator looks at his clipboard. And he says, you're not scheduled to bring the sheepdog up to the studio today. You're not on the schedule. I said, what? I said, the elevator's right here. It's open. The door. Yeah, but you have to be booked. You have to be on the schedule because it was a union rule, because it was a union elevator starter. And the union elevator starter had to get his instructions from a Group 5 union engineer guy. All right, this is a great call. I really appreciate it, Linda. Would you like to play the cash call jackpot?
I don't even know what that is.
You identify the mystery sound. If you get the mystery sound correct, you win the cash call jackpot game.
I'll try.
Linda, what do you think that mystery sound is?
Sounds like a ticker tape.
Sounds like a what?
Ticker tape.
No, I'm sorry, Linda, but thank you. Thank you so much for calling Sterling on Sunday. That was a great call. I appreciate what you had to say at 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Dumb rules at work. Thank you for the Diet Coke, Nathan Tester. Thank you. Very soon you're going to be hearing music from Nathan Tester. Nathan Tester is a gifted musician who hates his own voice, which is true of most musicians. And soon you'll be hearing his music, because I was blown away. I forget to be, oh, God, I have to hear this. But it is really good. All right. I have to share with you a personal crime wave. I committed a personal crime wave. Here's what I did. I had to take the kid, the 12-year-old, to piano lessons. I drive to the piano lessons, and it's in a rural suburb. A rural suburb. You know what that is. That's where there are houses on big lots that are ugly houses. Well, they forgot that they got, we're going to build a 4-bedroom house now. That's great. They forgot to hire an architect. A series of ugly 4-bedroom houses on 2 acres of land. Rural ugliness. I take the kid to the piano lesson. And now I've got a half hour to kill, and I'm in an area that I have no idea what it is. I don't know where I am. I don't know the town. I don't know the community. And I'm, like, driving around, and I see a church. There's a respectable Protestant denomination church. And it's noon on a Saturday. And outside the church, get this, outside the church is about 8 people, poorly dressed, who have eaten a lot of meat, smoking. And I'm like, it's noon on Saturday, a lot of people sitting outside, killing time. You know what? I bet it's one of those recovery meetings. I bet it's one of those 12-step meetings. Now, the reason I was fascinated by this possibility is I had a half hour to kill. And there are always good stories in those meetings, but more importantly, there are always an abundance of free cookies and an abundance of coffee and tea. I pull over. I pull into this church parking lot. I got a half hour to kill. There are people standing outside smoking at noon on a Saturday. It's not a church service. There was some recreational event, probably a recovery meeting. I could get free cookies and tea and coffee and kill 25 minutes, right? I go into this church, and sure enough, there's a meeting room, and there are all these people standing around being social. I'm like, oh, it's a social community meeting. And because it's a church, no one's going to throw you out. They're happy to see you. They're happy to see me, I guess. But the what they were offering was unusual. It was pizza. They had really good pizza, and the pizza was all sausage pizza. There was no plain pizza, certainly no pineapple pizza in the middle of Ohio in the Midwest on a Saturday. There was sausage pizza and nothing else. And sub sandwiches. So there were submarine sandwiches and sausage pizza, but no plain pizza. It was clearly somebody's preference. Somebody had the preference for sausage pizza and Diet Coke. And Coke. and root beer and Dr. Pepper, every kind of soda. That was very unusual for a church social meeting. And round tables, people were there with their kids. I'm like, this is kind of odd. And I look up, and every place that I look up, there's somebody staring at me. There's a guy staring at me. There's a photo of a guy staring at me. And I realize it's always the same guy. Everybody I'm looking at is the same guy. It's one guy looking at me from 10 different photos in 10 different positions around the room. I was at a reception for a funeral service. I had walked into this person's funeral service reception. This guy, his photo was all over the room. Everybody there was a friend of Hank. Everybody was a friend of Hank, not Bill W. They were friends of Hank. And there was Hank staring at me, and I guess it would be safe to conclude that Hank liked sausage pizza, because that's the only kind of pizza that was there. And they had just come from a service, a funeral service for Hank. And now they were looking at me and going, were you close with Hank? Yes, yes, I was very close with Hank. He was very helpful to my family and myself. Well, that's lovely. How did you know Hank? I asked perfect strangers. Oh, we've known Hank all our lives. It was wonderful. I guess you found Hank's favorite pizza was sausage pizza. Oh, everybody knows Hank loves sausage pizza. Now I have a paper plate with three pieces of sausage pizza because it's my favorite kind of pizza. I might as well have been the dead man. I might as well have been the dead man. There I am holding three pieces of sausage pizza at Hank's memorial service luncheon. And a Diet Coke. And now I got a problem because people are starting to ask me about my relationship with Hank. I had no relationship with Hank. My relationship with Hank was over pizza, and he was already dead. I was very grateful to Hank for the pizza. Now I quietly, smoothly, without increasing my pace, just very slowly walked to my car with the pizza because I was taking that pizza and the Diet Coke. I had three pieces of sausage pizza. Thank you, Hank. But I was a one-man crime wave. I barged in on a funeral luncheon, Hank's funeral luncheon, at noon on a Saturday. I took Hank's sausage pizza. I took it with me back to the car. I ate Hank's sausage pizza, and I was very grateful to Hank the rest of the day for providing me with lunch. But that was my personal crime wave. So I have now confessed to you two crimes. I steal Splenda, and I barged in, I crashed Hank's funeral luncheon, and had to maintain a lie, which was that I knew Hank when people said, how did you know Hank? I'd like to know about your personal crime waves. What is your personal crime wave been? My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. This is your time to confess, because right about now, you're driving to the third shift, you're about to go to sleep, feeling a little guilty about the personal crime wave, but this is what I did. Now, I want to get together. One of the great things about being on at this time of day is Midnight Misfits. We don't belong. We have special needs, special requirements, but the greatest thing about this show is we have learned that we are all in it, that this is the time of day we choose to be together. Couple things. If you would like a Midnight Misfit membership card, Nathan has a Midnight Misfit membership card that it spells out, this is what I expect you to do, and this is what I expect you to do from now on, and this is how you qualify to be a Midnight Misfit. All you have to do is send me an email, walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com, S-T-A-C-Y-S, stacysentiretreeservice.com, walter@stacysentiretreeservice.com, and give me your real email, your real address, your snail mail address, and I will mail you, I will make sure that you are mailed a Midnight Misfit membership card. It spells out how you qualify and what you have to do. Okay, that's part one. Part two, let's get together. I am so flattered by the number of people who say, would you have lunch with me? Would you have dinner with me? Well, that tells me a great deal about how you and I communicate. Every email I get gets answered. Every posting on Facebook gets answered. And every tweet gets answered. Walter M. Sterling Twitter. Walter M. Sterling Facebook. Every one of these gets answered. It's time for us to get together. And the right place to get together for people who work all night is a Waffle House. And it's going to be on April 15th. Which Waffle House? Go to Old Dad Secrets, Old Dad Secrets at iTunes or TuneIn and download it, the latest one, and you will find out which... I'm looking at something. Which Waffle House it is. There's Nick from Chicago listening on WLS. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Nick. Hello, Nick. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, is this Waltz?
It is. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for letting me talk to you. I was telling your screener that I once was going by a park area, and they had a, during the summer, and they had like a couple of tents set up. Some company had a little get-together, and I saw a line of people getting plates of food, so I went up to the line. I stood in line. And
can you hear?
And I didn't work for that company, but I told the lady that, hey, listen, my wife has had a little trouble walking, but can you give me an extra plate for her too? So I got two plates of food for nothing, you know. Hey, I'm from Chicago, you know. I should run for office, man. I should run for, you know, alderman at least. What do you think?
I think you're way too honest.
No. At that time, I wasn't. But at that time, I fabricated the whole thing, and just like you were talking about, I didn't quite catch the full story about what you were saying about the funeral. But you just showed up there and got some pizza, right?
Yes, I showed up at a funeral luncheon. I didn't know it was a funeral luncheon. I certainly didn't know the person who had died, but there was the pizza. What could I do? I appreciate your call. Well, thank you very much for calling 888-688-WALT. We're going to have an Oscar summary from the great Jim Kelly coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, and you, this is Westwood One.
Sterling on Sunday, I'm Randy Thomas, voice of the Oscars, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Tonys, and Kennedy Center Honors. What the hell am I doing here? Oh, by the way, listen to my new podcast, the Music Connection Magazine podcast. You'll love it.
And we're very grateful for Randy Thomas. Now, let me repeat this again, because I get a lot of emails, a lot of texts, a lot of facts. You and I are going to meet at a Waffle House. The Midnight Misfit Waffle House event. I got to come up with some alliteration name. I'll work on that during the week. It's going to be on April 15th. Do you want to know which Waffle House? You have to go and download my podcast. The podcast is called Old Dad Secrets. It's at Apple iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeart. What's the other one? Spotify. Download it. The latest episode reveals which Waffle House we're going to be seeing each other at on April 15th. You bring a crummy coffee mug, and you will get a new Waffle House coffee mug. And I want to prove to the sales weasels that we can pack the place. Because, you know, these sales weasels, they can't extrapolate. Now, there's Jim Kelly, who's our official Oscar correspondent. Jim Kelly, why don't you sum up what you learned at the Oscars?
Well, here's a few things I've seen in the thing with the Oscars. So, on stage was Annabelle Shura. There was also...
What? Was that American?
I believe so. There was also Ashley Judd and Selma Hayek, who, you know...
Selma Hayek.
Yes. Selma, please don't stand next to the microwave, because the bling was just out of control, and they were talking about the various biases going on in Hollywood, you know, the abuse and things
abuse.
Of that nature. Yeah, things that have been going on in Hollywood and how things have to change. Best Picture this year, they actually got it right. If I could scroll through, I was just typing this. Is The Shape of Water was the best picture this year.
What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of Shape of Water?
No idea. I think I would agree with you. I don't think I've seen any of these films, and I think you're right. These are things you would see in a movie house with sticky floors, flat soda, and stale popcorn is where you would see some of these films. And, you know, Eddie Vedder, he paid tribute to Tom Petty with a song, Room at the Top. Best song was from the movie Coco, I believe. And I'm trying to scroll through my notes. I'm sorry I'm doing this on the fly, folks, but that's how we do it here on the Walter M. Sterling Show. Nothing scripted. We just do it on the fly. And I'm trying to think. Best original screenplay went to Get Out. That was one of them. The achievement in...
But did you see any of these movies?
I think the only one I've seen was Three Billboards and I, Tonya. Those were the only two I really watched.
And but you were featured in Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, I was. I was featured.
This featured you. You were in the preview of this.
Yeah, well...
You'll be comfortable.
I will only be comfortable if you call me by your name.
My name? You want me to call you by my name?
Yes. Call me by your name.
This raises a whole host of problems.
Why don't you have a name? I've never heard anyone call you by your name. They just call you Mr. Lucky.
Well, I got that name. Never mind.
But I want you to call me by your name.
Okay, okay. If it will get you nude, I will call you by my name.
Your legal name. Call me by your actual name.
If it means that much, I will call you by my actual name. My actual name is Susan.
Now, did anybody talk to this Ryan Seacrest?
There were a few people that talked to him, yeah. Allison Janney talked to him. I know that much. I know Diane Warren talked to him. And Mary J. Blige had spoken to him, so... spoken to him, I'm sorry. Bad English. So he did get interviews, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate your Oscar coverage for us. I thank you very much. You and I should stay in touch during the week. You do that by downloading my podcast, Old Dad Secrets at iTunes. Old Dad Secrets at iTunes. And that's how you're going to find out which Waffle House you and I are going to meet at. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Westwood One.
My classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.